Jersey TV.
Just like the old days, it's Martin Zender here from my car, the same car. I'm consistent. I love consistency. I love ruts. I love patterns. I'm not one to learn new tricks. Love my ruts. You can take that to the bank. Martin Zender again, and I want you to watch yesterday's video if you haven't. It's the one called The Invisible Walk. This is a talk I gave in Willard, Ohio at our annual conference there in June of, I think it was 2005, and it's a good one. It's about, this is going to sound weird, but it's almost easier to try to do the law, at least for Israel, because it was a set rules, set penalties, set rewards. You know what God wanted. Everything was clear cut. And it's almost like a school paper. You know, you get a star on the top of your paper if you did well. You get graded A, B, C, D, D+. So it's very tactile. And it's cause and effect. It's credits and demerits. And so it's very logical. People like it for that reason. Even though it deals out, you know, death and condemnation, just a little minor detail there. Who's going to worry about that? But grace, on the other hand, it's an invisible walk because we don't get graded like they did in the law, because God is completely happy with us. And in the law, if you follow the law well, good things would happen for you. You know, your wife would be fertile, your cattle would be fertile, your health would be good, your kids were blessed. All these wonderful things happen to you. Now, in this gospel of grace, you can't trust that good things happening to a person is a result of obeying God. In fact, if you follow Paul and his teaching, you will suffer evil with the evangel. So people who today are suffering, going through deprivations, it's not evidence of God's disfavor. In fact, in many cases, it's evidence of his favor. He's disciplining you as with sons, Hebrews chapter 12. So great talk. But what Rodney did at the end of this video just blew me away. He took one of my MCTVs from a couple years ago when I talked about the allegory. It's the allegory I put at the end of my book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. You know, about facing the English Channel, it being impossible when a ship pulls up and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Rodney put that, he put music and video to it, and it's just, I mean, jaw-dropping. I was amazed by it. And I think what I'm going to do is just take that, and maybe this week or probably next week, I'm going to run that as an individual MCTV show, because I want as many people to see it as possible. So if you want to get a sneak peek at it, if you haven't seen it already, it's linked down here. Yesterday's show, Rodney Paris, Martin Zender special called The Invisible Walk. Check it out. Also, let me know if you want me to run the individual talks from the Nebraska conference. If you remember, there was something very unusual we did in the recording of that conference. It was live streamed. And so it was just one big blob of video, and nobody had really cut out the individual talks. It wasn't on my channel, so I couldn't do it. Well, somebody did it. A beautiful, wonderful saint says, I'm going to take these separate files. I'm going to pull them out, and boom, here we have individual talks. I'm thinking of running my talks anyway as MCTV shows. Let me know what you think of that idea. Today, there are two representative men that we never talk about. Now, when I say two representative men, who are the first two men you think of? Adam and Christ, because they both represent the entire human race. But there are two other representative men. I just realized this, that these men represent two opposite experiences in this life, good and evil. What does God say in Isaiah 45:7? I'm the Lord, there is no other, maker of good, creator of evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. There's only two things that happen to you in this life. They're either good or evil. And what is a result of good? What is a result of evil? What happens when people go through good? What happens when people go through evil? Well, there are two poster boys for good and for evil in the scripture. You probably already know who I'm referring to. If not, I will tell you. I am referring to Job and Solomon. God demonstrated principles, two extreme principles, with these two men. Now, if I was going to be experimented on, I would rather be part of the Solomon experiment, yeah, than the Job experiment. Now, these are not experiments to God. God doesn't experiment. He knows exactly what's going to happen. It's bad to even call it an experiment. These were demonstrations. God is giving object lessons for all time. And if you can understand what's happening with Job and what's happening with Solomon, you can save yourself a lot of trouble. I, Martin Zender, am here today to save you a lot of trouble. Just like Israel saved us a lot of trouble. Oh, yeah. We know that no flesh at all can boast in God's presence, and that no flesh at all can do the things of God, can obey the dictates of God. We don't have to experience that ourselves. We don't have to bang our heads against the wall, because God already had a head-banging nation. God already had a nation with which he conducted that demonstration. It was Israel. Of course, Christians haven't gotten that memo. They look at that guinea pig nation I call Israel. I'm the only person on record that I know of that calls Israel a guinea pig nation. No disrespect meant. It's just the fact. God used them to show that no flesh can be justified in law. But Christians are still out there trying to do law. It's the ultimate stupidity. It's hard to believe. But this was an example. So you can save yourself a lot of trouble. Never go into any kind of denomination or any kind of organization that encourages you to do the law. God already did that with Israel. It brings condemnation and death. It's just like, okay, that's a pretty easy one. But these other two things are, it's not that they're helpful to, yes, it is. It is that they're helpful to avoid. In the case of Job, you can't avoid it. But in the case of Solomon, you can. Let me tell you what I mean. God taught an object lesson concerning evil. And he used a man named Job. And that man stands for all time now as the poster boy for God bringing an evil experience on a person. And I mean, he tasted it to the dregs. You know the story. His kids die. His health goes to hell. Just a poor guy. And he didn't do anything wrong. That's the thing. I mean, yeah, he was a religious person and he kind of justified himself, but he didn't do anything to deserve it. God said, I'm going to use you as an object lesson. And if I was Job, I would say, well, can you go into more detail on that? I'm not sure I want to sign up for this project. God, he didn't have a choice. And Solomon, on the other hand, was also chosen for an object lesson. And the object lesson in Solomon's case, rather than evil, was good. He was given all the good that any human could ever want. He said, whatever my eye desired, nothing was spared me. God just lavished me with every single thing that humans tend to want. And what was the result of Job? What was the result of Solomon? I'm glad you asked. And I came up with a saying based on this study. I'm going to give you the saying, and then I'm going to go back and explain how I got there. Here's the saying. Evil ain't going to kill you, and good ain't gonna thrill you. Evil ain't gonna kill you, and good ain't gonna thrill you. Now we know that evil isn't going to kill you, and in fact, here's another end result of my study. I still haven't given you the details, but the end result is actually Job ends up better than Solomon, because Solomon is left in a puddle of his own discontent. Solomon is left in a disappointing haze of vanity. All is vanity, he says. And this is after having been given everything. He's trapped, Solomon is, in this ennui, this boredom that there's no remedy for, really, at the end. I mean, at the end, Solomon says, okay, the result of all this is that just, you know, follow God's instructions. Well, the instructions for him was the law. For us, God's instructions are, sit down, relax, and appreciate what Christ has done for you. We can follow those instructions. But Solomon, and we know that Solomon's life got screwed up. His wives and his concubines probably led him into the worship of false deities. And so now that I'm talking about Solomon, let's just go with him. The guy had everything. All the money in the world, wealth, status, fame, the women. My God, the women that man had. 500 wives and 500 concubines. And he ends up just looking at the camera and saying, I know you people think that this must be the greatest thing in the world. Let me tell you, it's not. It's all vanity. It's all empty. If only people could learn that lesson. I'll never forget Jim Carrey saying, you know, I wish that everyone could be rich and famous, because then they would find out that fame and wealth cannot buy happiness. But see, nobody believes it. You hear the stories of people winning the lottery and having their lives ruined. Nobody believes it. Well, that won't happen to me. They just didn't know how to manage it. I know I wouldn't know how to handle it. Or like, oh, Solomon was stupid to let his 500 wives lead him astray. Give me 500 wives, Lord, and I promise I'll bring them all into the evangel. I'll make them all watch MZTV. After our morning romp in the hay, we'll turn on Martin Zender's show. I'll do it right, Lord. I'll do it right. No, Solomon, this is one reason why Solomon was the wisest man in the world, and he had all this wealth. There's a reason for that. It's because no one could have managed it better than Solomon. Solomon, you're not going to get that amount of riches. You're not going to get that amount of sex or whatever your fantasy is and manage it any better than Solomon did. And he ends up just being so disappointed in it because none of it can fulfill. I know it seems crazy. You say to yourself, if I could just win the lottery, I swear life would be great. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. Learn the lesson of Solomon. God's trying to spare you with Solomon. Do you understand that? God is putting Solomon forth as, look, spare yourself. This guy had everything. I mean, Jim Carrey tries to tell you. Jim Carrey tried to tell you. And if you see all these celebrities, they're just unhappy. And they get divorces. And they have drug problems. And they go to jail. And they kill people. And they kill themselves. And it's like, how could that be? They're rich and famous. And everybody just wants to be rich and famous. Well, that is the stupidest thing you could want, to be rich and famous. It's so juvenile. It's so idiotic. And not only are our contemporaries warning us, people like Jim Carrey. Robert Blake was another guy. He hated fame. He hated celebrity. I'll never forget seeing Robert Blake on I think it was the Merv Griffin show. And he had all kinds of mental issues. And he looked at the camera and he said, you people are lucky. You envy me? I'm famous. I'm a movie star. I'm on the Merv Griffin show. Well, he goes, no, I envy you and your anonymity. I envy you. You can go out. You can do anything you want. People aren't bothering you. You don't owe people time or favors, or it's just his life was absolutely miserable. But this lesson should have been learned thousands of years ago with Solomon. He's the poster boy. He got everything to the nth degree. And it's a dead end road. Dead end. Solomon ended up worse than Job, which brings us to old Joby. Okay. Nobody wants to be Job. Okay. Oddly enough, we would line up to be Solomon. But the line for the Job experience is really short. Line forms here. There's a sign. Line forms here, but nobody's there. We don't enter Job voluntarily. God brings trials to us. But through Job's afflictions, we learn that they're not going to kill you. And in fact, they're going to build you. They are going to bring you a realization of God that will be extremely valuable, that you will be able to trade for aeonian wealth in the next eon. And at the end of his life, Job got more than he had before. God blessed him doubly. This is an intimation. People say he didn't get his kids back. I know. That sucked. He didn't get his kids back. But he had another family. He's going to see his kids someday. But that's the thing. Trials have a promise of aeonian reward when we suffer in accord with God's plans for us, especially suffering in accord with the evangel, or just holding these teachings and being marginalized, disrespected by people that you know, even some that you love, even some that you know and love. There is, well, Paul says the temporary trials are working for us. They're light. Afflictions are light, and they're working for us an aeonian burden of glory. And we see a hint of that in Job, who reaps at the end more than he had at the beginning. Whereas Solomon just starts with everything and ends with, he's just blah at the end. Solomon's blah. Job is stronger, and he ends up being richer, and he has stored up a wealth of experience. In the meantime, Solomon's worshiping Baal because his wives were apparently very influential. Let's put it that way. They used their feminine ways to pull him away from the true God. It's hard to believe that could happen. But I guess that's how it is with 500 wives. James Corum, our recently departed brother, we were talking about having multiple wives and that God never really... Why did I even start this sentence? Why? There's no place in the New Testament where God abrogates polygamy. Several of us talked to Jim Corum about it. He goes, I can't see anywhere where, you know, God actually takes away his institution. God instituted a man having more than one wife if he wanted it, if he could support her. But I remember James Corum telling me, one's all I can handle. Nothing against his wife, Suella. It's just that I think for most men, one's enough. Yeah, sure. Anyway, so there's Joby. And yeah, as he's going through the trial, and many of you are going through your own personal trials, it's not fun. But it holds a promise for the future. That's the thing. It ends up building character. But the remarkable thing is that as opposite as these experiences are, good and evil, you would think that the good would land you on this high plateau of euphoria, and the bad would put you down in this pit of despondency. Well, Job was there temporarily. But the strange thing is that as polar opposite as these experiences are, they both bring you to kind of sort of the same place, in that they're both temporary. All the evil we get in this life is temporary. All the riches we get in this life is temporary. And the riches aren't going to make you happy, and the evil is not going to kill you. The riches ain't going to thrill you. The evil's not going to kill you. So you should be thankful for a mix of these things. You don't want more of one or more of another. You certainly don't want more of the evil, but you don't want more of the riches either. You don't want it. You don't want it. Don't strive for it. It's a mistake. It's the love of money that is the root of all evils. The love of money. Not money. The love of money. So, these poster boys bring us kind of, sort of, to the same place. And both of their comments at the end have to do with what? God. Solomon says, just the end result of this is just follow God's instruction. Revere God. Fear God. and follow his instructions. And Job says, I heard of you with the hearing of my ear. Now I see you. Now I know you. So isn't that interesting? Both of these wildly different experiences bring everybody to the commonplace of God. It's all God. God is your own, should be your only striving, your only goal. It's obvious I don't need to tell you not to strive for evil. I don't need to tell you that. Although some people think that they should go out and look for their own trials. I know some people who are, they're upset. They're not being tried enough. I'm not being tried enough. What's the matter with me? I'm not going through enough trials. It's like, are you out of your mind? Be thankful to God. Nobody's seeking out trials. But we think that fame or wealth is going to be the just, if I can just get enough money, if I can just have a better house, if I can just have a better car, if I can just have a better wife, then life's going to be great for me. Nope. There you go. You're seeking to be wealthy in this eon. And seeking to be wealthy in this eon isn't only wealth, isn't only financial wealth. It's you want to have a wealth of friends. You want to have a wealth of influence. You want to have a wealth of notoriety. No. Let God handle it. Do what you can. Of course, you want to be good at your job. You have to make some money to support your family, to support yourself. But don't make it your goal, for God's sake. Don't make it your goal. And in the end, as I said, even though they both come out shrugging their shoulders, Job comes out shrugging his shoulders saying, well, it's God. Now I really see who God is. See, Solomon didn't say that. He didn't say, now I really see who God is. I guess since he was the wisest man in the world, he already knew who God was. But what he ends up saying is, well, just it's all God. It's all God. It all comes out evenly in the wash. So the bottom line is God is trying to save us some angst in this life. With Job, the lesson is don't despair over your evils. It's going to work out. It's going to build your character, and you're going to end up with more in the end. That's what Job is telling us. So don't become overly despondent, despairing, if you're experiencing evil. Don't. See, Job didn't know when he was going through it. He didn't know that he was going to get double-double at the end. He didn't know that. So he's going, but see, you do know that. That's what the advantage of having this account in the scriptures. You know that. So now you have insight that Job didn't have. If Job had that insight, maybe he would have been less, you know, mopey. I don't know. So that's in there to spare you, to keep you from becoming morbidly despondent over evil. And the Solomon account is in there. That poster boy's there to keep you from thinking that if I just had all these women, or in the case of women, all these men adoring me, or all the wealth, all the fame, if I can only get 10,000 followers on Instagram, oh my God, my life would be complete. If I can get 500 likes for this video, my life will be complete. Solomon would beg to differ with you. In the end, it all comes back to God. Let God be true, though Instagram a liar. That was pretty good.